In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The word of God for our sermon devotion continues from our lessons in Peter's first epistle. We read in chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that causes them to fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our living stone, dearly loved by God. Many ancient buildings still stand covered with dust from many ages past. Those temporary permanent buildings, if we may call them that, continue to stand because the people who built them did a good job. They set a good cornerstone, or in the case of an arch, a good keystone, that one right at the top between the two rising arches. They used good materials in their building, and the builders had wisdom and skill when they put it all together. St. Peter tells us this morning about a building about which we can remove the word temporary and simply call it permanent. God is the builder. He has used the only cornerstone or keystone he could to keep that building standing forever and ever. He has used us as construction materials, chosen, regal, holy, God's special possession, his unique people. That building continues to stand in testimony to the wisdom and the skill of the one who does the building. The church is that building that Peter writes about. You and I today see that you are like living stones built into a spiritual house. We are built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, that precious cornerstone. And we are built with a specific, for specific purposes. You notice that Peter uses a simile to describe us. No, we are not literally blockheads. Peter said, you are like living stones. You are like blocks of stone as if they were alive. And as a builder would place stones, good stones, on a good cornerstone or bring them up to a good keystone, God has set us as living stones on the living stone as our foundation, cornerstone. And that living stone, of course, is Jesus Christ. We are not a house human hands have built. We are a house the Holy Spirit has built. And that's why Peter calls it a spiritual house. It is made by the Spirit. It is given its life by the Holy Spirit. God originally had chosen the members of Israel to be his spiritual house. And he gave them, first in promise and then in fulfillment, the one cornerstone on which to build. The one cornerstone that at times was placed on the tops of the walls to give it its direction and its strength. But God's people as a whole did not want to build on that cornerstone. Rather, they wanted to build on their own blood relationship with Abraham. They wanted to build on their own righteousness, not according to God's law, but according to their laws. They wanted something different than a Messiah, a Savior who would come and redeem them from their sins. So foolishly, they rejected the cornerstone that God had given them. They cast it aside in unbelief. And for those unbelievers, Jesus became a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. This fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in the 8th chapter of his book. It's like, here's what happened. They examined the cornerstone that God had given them in the promise of the Savior. And then they examined Jesus as the one who claimed to be that cornerstone, and they rejected it. So instead of using it under them as the building of the church, they just sort of tossed it aside and tossed him aside. And just like when we were building our building and there were piles of lumber and rocks that they had dug up from the ground, and if you weren't careful, you would stumble over them. That's what they did now with Jesus. Jesus literally became an offense. The idea that you would be saved by a Savior and that this Jesus of Nazareth was that Savior. And so they continue to stumble around in the dark of their unbelief, falling over Jesus in their rejection of him. God, though, would not be frustrated, of course, in his building this living house on the living stone. And so he gathered other stones. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish stones or Gentile stones. They really were not fit to be used in the construction of this living house until he made them fit, until he forgave our sins, until he called us to faith, until he made us his chosen generation, ruling priests, a holy nation, not of blood or ethnicity, but united in faith. God cut us and shaped us to be those living stones. And He set us on that sure cornerstone, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of forgiveness in Christ. He put us into the light of Christ's righteousness and Spirit-worked faith. And so, for believers, Christ is the precious cornerstone. We realize by the Spirit's power that we must build our faith and our hope on Jesus. And so under those believers in Israel and in the Gentile nations and under us, collectively Zion, God has laid Jesus Christ as a chosen and precious cornerstone. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. They rejected the stone and set it aside, but the builder took that stone and now has placed it under all believers. And built on Christ, we will never be put to shame. Isn't it a shame that building fell down? Isn't it a shame that building is cockeyed and terrible looking? What do you mean by that? Well, it means the people who built it had no wisdom. The people who built it had no skill. And so the building bears that shame and eventually falls down. God says, that's never going to happen to us. We, the church, that house built of living stones, is built on the solid, sure cornerstone of Christ. He has become like the keystone, that stone that gives the arches their strength and durability. Even though temples are falling, even though one day this building will turn to dust, we, the people, the church in this building, are permanent. We are eternal. We will never be put to shame. On Judgment Day, nobody's going to look at us and say, isn't it a shame that they believed in Jesus? Isn't it a shame that they relied entirely on Christ as God takes us into the glory and majesty of heaven to live and reign as priests and kings with our Lord and Savior? Before God chose you, you were not a people. But now, you are the people of God. Once, you had not received mercy. But now, you have received mercy. Mercy, as we sang in our hymn, at the baptismal font, at the altar of the cross that we think about when we see our altar here, at the Lord's Supper, where we receive that body and blood of our Savior. And that leads us, really, to our purpose. Every building has a purpose, doesn't it? It's a house for people to live in. It's a hospital where the sick may be taken care of. This is a sanctuary for the purpose of you and me to gather together as God works His divine service of forgiving our sins in word and sacrament. Every building has a purpose. God built His living house, His spiritual house on the living stone, really for two purposes. First of all, that as priests, we would offer spiritual sacrifices to Him that are holy and pleasing to Him in Christ Jesus. And secondly, that we should declare the praises of Him. Literally, we should declare the wonders and the glory of Him who has called us out of darkness into the light of faith. It is here in this house that we offer our worship and praise. It is here and in other places that we share our spiritual graces and gifts. God has called us to be a living house as we rise up, built together to help one another, to share in the different gifts that God has given us for the common good. We share our mutual financial resources. We share our interests and ability. We share our time and our Christian charity for good. We do all of those things because we're built together as living stones into one spiritual house. And notice that we are built on a living stone. We're not built on a dead stone, but a living stone. Jesus Christ lives. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's how this fits in the Easter season. Just as an ancient building would get its strength, would get its direction, would get its durability, we might even say, get its life from the cornerstone, we stones are as living stones because we get our life from the one on whom we build. Christ's new life is our spiritual life. Christ's resurrection from death is our resurrection from death for our bodies on the last day. God chose Jesus, His Son, for that work. God chose the most precious thing that He has, and that is His eternal Son. And yet He sacrificed that Son into death. He sacrificed His Son bearing our sins, but also a perfect holiness for us under the law. And He raised that Son to give Him new life, declaring us forgiven, declaring us to be His own. God has laid in Zion, in His church, that living stone. It is the quality of the cornerstone that gives the quality to the rest of the stones, even in an earthly building. But that's particularly true in the church. There was only one who had all the characteristics, all the qualities to be that perfect cornerstone, and that is Jesus. And His main characteristics are that He is God and that He saved us from our sins. And built on Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, even as steeples are falling, even as eventually those temporary permanent dwellings that still stand, they will fall. But the church will last forever. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to offer those spiritual sacrifices to God that I mentioned. Not because we have to, not begrudgingly, but freely, moved by the Spirit as fruits of our faith. We are to praise Him, glorify Him, declare the wisdom and the skill and the plan of our salvation, of that great builder of the church, to others so that they also might know Him. We do it by sharing the good news, as the disciples did on Pentecost, and the people said we heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We do it, as we heard in Bible class, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, I urge you, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. God chose us in Christ. We rule with Christ as we go directly to God through Christ. We are holy, precious, unique as His people. Let's use the opposite example of what I used a little while ago. We look at a beautiful, well-built, strong, functional house. And we marvel. We say, good house. Good building materials. What a good, wise, and skillful builder who put that house together to last. It serves its purpose well. May others always say that about you and me as we, as living stones, declare His praises. Amen.